sure as God made green apples, someday the Chicago Cubs are going to be in a World Series.
Here's the 0-1. This is going to be a tough play. Bryant, the Cubs win the World Series!
You are Locked On Cubs, your daily Chicago Cubs podcast.
But we didn't come here to drink beer! We came here to win this ballgame!
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I said to the Uber boy, I said, take me out with the crowd!
What's going on, Cubs fans? I am Sean Sears, and you're listening to Locked On Cubs, part of the Locked On Network, your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Head to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON to get yourself 20% off your next order. That's BuiltBar.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON. On today's episode, we're talking through Baseball America's recent top prospects list and the Cubs' top 10 prospects, according to Baseball America. So we'll kind of dive through that in the first segment, go through the top 10 prospects. Of course, Ed Howard is there, and of course, we're going to gush over him because we love Ed Howard already. But we're going to go through some of the top prospects in here. Guys, you might not know too much about Cole Franklin, Chase Strumpf, guys like Ryan Jensen, Christopher Morrell. Those guys are popping up on this list, and I think that's a good thing. So we'll talk through that here in the first segment. And then in the second segment, we're going to touch a little bit on some of the news bolts that came out from this past weekend and week here. Some news from Jed Hoyer, some Chris Bryant trade talk or lack thereof. And we'll go through that in the first segment, as well as Cleveland planning on changing their team name. So we'll touch on that in the second segment of more here on Locked On Cubs. You can get Locked On Cubs on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn App, Stitcher, iHeartRadio. Wherever you're listening to your podcast, make sure you subscribe, leave a 5-star review. And when you get into your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Cubs. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at Locked On Cubs. You can follow me on Twitter at Sean R. Sears. Ooh, voice crack there. it's early in the morning, folks, but we're going through the top prospects here according to Baseball America for the Cubs. So that list, I'll just kind of go through the top 10 quickly. It breaks down as you would expect here. Braylon Marquez, the top prospect for the Cubs, left-handed pitcher, easily their best pitching or prospect they've had throughout this Jed Hoyer through Epstein era. He's their top prospect this year. Their top positional prospect, Brennan Davis, outfielder. Not surprising there either. Him and Miguel Amaya, those at three here are the two top positional pitching or positional prospects for the Cubs right now, and that's not too surprising. That's kind of how things have been for these last couple of years, but you could probably switch Marquez, Davis, and Amaya anywhere from 1 through 3 and make it make sense. Most prospect lists are probably going to list Ed Howard as the fourth prospect on this Cubs list. He is number 4 for Baseball America. Shortstop obviously got a small amount of work done here this fall in the instructional league, but the Cubs are excited to get him some experience in his first full season in their minor league system. So he's at 4. Edbert Alzolay, who should probably graduate from the system this year and likely should be in the starting rotation for 2021. He's at number 5. Cole Franklin at 6, a right-handed pitcher, a guy that not only the Cubs, but a lot of other systems in general are kind of envious that the Cubs have a guy like Cole Franklin, who's just kind of slowly risen through this system. A strong right-hander, or throws relatively hard, does have some plus breaking stuff, a pretty good curveball actually, but hey, he's still relatively young. He's still a guy that he's probably seen as an upper mid rotation starter. That's what Baseball America is listing him as, but a guy that does have a lot of potential and could be a middle relief type of guy too if it doesn't quite work out for the starter. So that's nice. Ryan Jensen, another kind of fit there. He's a former first overall pick or first round pick for the Cubs in 2017, I believe. It should be 2019, excuse me. Jeez. Because it went Horner, Jensen, and then obviously Ed Howard this past year. But Jensen, a right-hander from Fresno State, a talented guy who has triple-digit stuff. He's been working really hard on getting his breaking pitches working, more specifically his changeup. The Cubs think if he can develop that changeup, he could turn into a very impressive starter. But his basement, his low floor here, I guess you want to call it, at the very minimum, is probably some type of high leverage reliever just with his plus stuff. So that's huge. He's number 7 on the Cubs top 10 list here. Chris Morrell, Chase Strumpf, and Riley Thompson. Three names you guys might not know a ton about unless you're following the minor league system relatively closely these last couple of years. Chris Morrell, a guy that made some pretty big strides in 2020. Showed he's got a lot of power. He's got a really strong arm. Plays third base for the Cubs. Could probably play all over the infield for the most part. He does have the ability to be pretty aggressive and somewhat of a free swinger. Chases a lot of fastballs, will swing at fast break balls, breaking balls away. But the Cubs liked what they saw, and obviously, like, his arm alone makes him at least tantalizing enough to get in the infield. But his fielding is strong, too, and he looks like he could be an average defender or slightly above that at third base or possibly even second or short. The Cubs reportedly are considering messing with him in center field, too, just to expand his versatility. Chris Morrell seems like a fun guy, I'm excited to see him get more work done here. He broke out in South Bend in 2019 and had a pretty strong 2020 in the alternative training site. I don't know what strong means, though, really. I guess they just liked what they saw. But Chris Morrell's a guy I've heard a lot about, and a guy I had to look up a couple months ago because I didn't really know who he was, but I saw a lot of the minor league guys, you know, the Michael Ernst, the Brian Smiths of the world, talking a lot about Chris Morrell. And I had to kind of look into him myself and was like, okay, yeah, why are we not talking more about this guy? He seems fun. So hopefully for the best for him. Chase Strumpf, another guy that kind of fits in that Chris Morrell role a little bit. He's played mainly second base. The Cubs think he has a chance to develop possibly into an everyday second baseman who can hit for average and possibly hit for power. He's not super impressive with the glove. His arm isn't that great. That's probably why he's stuck at second base. He's not bad by any means. It's not like he has any issue there fielding the position, but he's dealt with some injuries. He's had a foot, a back, a wrist injury the last couple of years. So health is a concern. Keeping him at second base, the Cubs are just hoping. I mean, this guy works counts, hits the ball a lot on the line, finds gaps. He's able to pinch hit, and, you know, it doesn't seem like there's really much of an issue with him. He's a good contact hitter who does have some pop in his bat, and that's nice. And then finally, Riley Thompson will round out the top 10. He's another impressive an impressive right-handed thrower. He's a good pitcher, a guy who was dealing with Tommy John surgery coming out of Louisville. He struggled to throw strikes for a little bit after return. The Cubs drafted him in the 11th round, and for all accounts now, seem to have found a really strong pitcher who's got a Vulcan grip on his changeup, which is so cool. It's basically a sinking changeup. It gives the spin of a sinker, but it moves like a changeup. Really cool. Most evaluators, apparently other Cubs and opposing sides, believe Thompson is a future solid starter. He's got a really great curveball too as well. Not a lot of fun pitchers the Cubs have now. Not a ton of guys outside of like maybe Marquez and Alzolay, who are probably the clear cut, you know, going to make it into the rotation at some point for the Cubs. But Cole Franklin, there's a lot of buzz about him. Ryan Jensen, another guy that people think the Cubs could hopefully develop into a pitcher. Riley Thompson right there with them. There's other guys like Corey Abbott and gosh, I'm blanking out other names here right now, but there's a good amount of pitchers the Cubs have that they think could make that next step. Those guys are the names I've heard the most about, though, so that's not surprising at all. But I wanted to dive a little bit into specifically the top four prospects for the Cubs here, because these are the guys I think we're going to be paying close attention to. Edward Alzolay is in here because he's probably the only other real pitching prospect for the Cubs at the moment. He's realistically an MLB player at this point. He should have been last year, but I wanted to dive specifically into Ed Howard. His scouting report for Baseball America, they talk about how talented of a shortstop he is. He's able to make both the flashy and routine plays, has a relatively reliable arm, really great plus arm accuracy. Just seems very fluid and athletic for a kid 18, 19 years old. Obviously, the hope is he's going to add on more strength, more muscle, start to see more impact swings at the plate. People are optimistic. They think Howard could turn into a 270, 280 type hitter with 20 home run plus ceiling. That's awesome. And with his work ethic, it's not surprising to think that he could maybe add a little bit more. He's such a talented guy who's already clearly got elite level of athleticism. His work ethic is really what's pushing him to this next level. And I mean, he just seems like he's ready to grind always. But it's clear. I mean, Howard's going to be an elite defensive player whenever he comes up. He could probably come up in baseball right now and be one of the best defenders at this moment. The Cubs are hoping that in the next couple of years, they can start to see that bat develop, and they hope that he can be the shortstop of the future. But at the very least, he is going to be a very talented defender whenever he comes up for the Cubs. So the next name I wanted to talk about was Miguel Amaya. He's probably the guy we've talked a lot about these last couple of years because he was drafted from Panama in 2015. So he's been in the system for a bit. But he's a guy that physically, one of the most gifted backstops in all of baseball collectively, but already looks like a major league catcher to a lot of the scouters, according to Baseball America. He's matured greatly at the alternative side, apparently. He was able to improve his focus, motivation, investment on defense. It's helping him be a better receiver and framer, which is awesome. They see his quick exchange defensively behind the plate from his hand to the ball, throwing runners down. He's a patient hitter, too, and I think that's a huge plus. You know, the Cubs have been very blessed to have a guy like Wilson Contreras behind the plate, not only because he's a great catcher, but because he's an elite offensive player. Amaya profiles as a very good hitter, too. He's not necessarily a guy that I think could turn into Wilson Contreras. He could be even better, possibly, at times, but, you know, I think it's kind of crazy to think that Wilson Contreras is you know, that's an insane, you know, crazy player. The combination of athleticism and hitting doesn't quite happen with catching prospects. Amaya is a similar mold, though. Strong behind the plate, seems to be already be a better receiver, and has the ability to hit 20-plus home runs. The future for him, according to Baseball America, is Cubs officials were pleased with Amaya's improved work ethic behind the plate. At the alternative site, the development has him in line to be the Cubs catcher of the future. Yeah, I mean, that seems to be what we've thought. Now, there is some other catching prospects in the Cubs system that the Cubs seem to be liking quite a bit, but Amaya clearly has been one of their few top prospects, was their top prospect, I think, just a year or so ago. It's hard to, I think maybe now, actually, I think it was Braylon Marquez with Amaya right behind him, but some lists had Amaya at the top. Baseball America did not. Either way, Amaya's a talented guy, should profile well as a pretty solid catcher, and the bat seems to be getting better with age, and that's a plus. The next guy I want to talk about, Brennan Davis. He's a guy who's been on this podcast, obviously. He has been one of the other hitting prospects we've talked a lot about on this podcast, and just in general, he's a guy that Davis is fun because he has a lot of power and speed. He's a great defender. He's got a good arm. There doesn't really seem to be a lot of holes in his game, and it feels like every time he runs into a challenge and starts to struggle, he adjusts, makes those adjustments, and then improves almost immediately. The Cubs were continuously kept saying they were impressed with how quickly Davis was adjusting to the game, making adjustments, and showing improvement relatively quickly in the alternative side. They think he's got a lot of power pretty much to any sides of the ball. They think he's a pole hitter, but they see a lot of potential in him going the other way, up the middle. He's just an impressive guy who makes, like I said, quick adjustments and controls the strike zone. He doesn't swing at a lot of pitches outside the zone. He looks like a guy that could potentially steal 20 bases and hit 20 home runs. That type of guy. He seems to profile well in center field. He should be with the Cubs at some point here in 2022-2023 at the latest. He's getting there, and I think if he'd gotten a full season last year, the Cubs could have realistically been having a conversation about Davis being up on this team this year. I think he'd probably be too early, but it would definitely be a more realistic conversation than it is right now. So, and then finally, Braylon Marquez, the guy everyone has talked about, one of the most explosive pitchers to come out of the system in a long time. He's been there for a bit. He's got a fastball, obviously, that sits around 97, 98 miles an hour. We saw what his main issues are, realistically, when he came up with the Cubs against the White Sox in the final game this season. It's control. He's got elite stuff. He struck out now AL MVP. Jose Abreu is his first strikeout. And you could see the stuff was nasty. He's got a slider that it's kind of like a slurve curveball that'll drop anywhere from like the low upper 80s all the way up to like 91. He can get his changeup to get up to about that high too as well. A lot of potential here because his velocity is so high, but his breaking stuff is so stark and aggressive, and he can change the velocity on these pitches. And what's cool about Marquez is when he's changing that velocity, those pitches break a little bit harder, a little bit softer, move a little bit more a certain direction. He's just a tough guy to figure out. The problem with all that is he doesn't have very much control, and it really comes down to if Marquez can control his explosive stuff, he has no issues becoming one of the top rotation arms in this Cubs pitching staff. It's that simple. If he can just find a way to just harness that insane stuff that he has, he'll be easily one of the best pitchers on this staff and one of the best pitchers in baseball. But it's whether or not he'll be able to find that control. They're hoping that it felt like when he did come up this last year for that one start, it was a lot of nerves. I talked a little bit about it too. It didn't seem like the Cubs really gave Marquez much of a heads up that he would be starting. And even though they knew that, you know, they'd clinched the division and were going to the playoffs the day before, you know, things were still kind of tense. And it was relatively important that the Cubs still kind of win that game. Not really. Could the Marlins were trailing. It could have had some impact in who they faced. So them winning at least solidified their destiny a little bit. But there's still kind of some pressure on there, even though Marquez came in with like an eight-run lead. It's a tough situation. So I think nerves kind of factored into that. But clearly his issue has been control. And if he can start to really get a grip on some of his secondary pitches, that fastball, I mean, it's an 80 grade fastball. That is nuts. That's nuts. It's so good. And obviously seeing it, I mean, he touched over 100 a couple times in that start against the White Sox. So, or the innings that he threw against the White Sox. So, but, you know, obviously two wild pitches, five earned runs in 2/3 of an inning. Not great. You want to see that get cleaned up. But for his first outing, just seeing that raw stuff, it made me a believer. So I'm excited for Marquez. He's easily the best prospect in the system and a guy that I am super excited to get more work in this Cubs system for 2021. Hey guys, Sean Sears here from Locked On Cubs to talk to you guys about Built Bar. Built Bar is one of the best tasting protein bars I've ever had. I know I talk to you guys about this all the time, but Built Bar is not only one of the best tasting protein bars with flavors like caramel brownie, cookies and cream, lemon almond cheesecake. It's a new one I've been trying. Those are all new flavors, but they've got their original flavors too, like peanut butter, banana bread, mint brownie. I love mint brownie. That's been my breakfast of choice the last couple months now. But the bars are 100% covered in chocolate, super easy to chew, soft, but the best thing about them is they're healthy. They're great for the health conscious guy, losing weight, whether that's losing, maintaining weight. It's a nice treat to indulge yourself with. They're low calorie, low sugar, high fiber, high protein. It's great for the keto diet if you're trying to lose weight during quarantine here right now. But take, for instance, the cherry Baraka. 17 grams of protein, 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 grams of net carbs. That is incredibly healthy for you, is good for you, obviously, but also tastes really good. It's a nice snack to have throughout the day. It's better than me chewing on, like, I don't know, a donut. I'm a big fan of Goldfish and chips and crackers. It's nice to be able to just eat one of these protein bars. I'm relatively full. I don't snack throughout the day, and I'm ready to eat dinner later on in the day. It's nice. I don't spoil my meal, and my girlfriend doesn't get mad at me when I don't want to eat the dinner she just made. But Built Bar has the promo code Locked On to get yourself 20% off your next order. So you head to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code Locked On. You save yourself 20% off your next order of Built Bars. They're delicious. They're nutritious. They're easy to bring anywhere on the go. Great snack for work from home. Head to BuiltBar.com, use promo code Locked On, save yourself 20% off, and give these guys a shout out. They've been doing awesome work for the Locked On Network and are making some of the best protein bars you'll ever have.
All right, Cubs fans, here in the second segment, we're just going to go over quickly some news that came out from this past week and weekend here. But Jed Hoyer spoke to NBC Sports on their Cubs Talk podcast and talked a little bit about some things we'd kind of discussed on this podcast, but gave us some more clarity. Specifically, Chris Bryant, he talked about how obviously there isn't a trade there quite yet. There isn't, you know, a fait to complete, I think the term he used on the podcast. But he's saying, you know, that a trade for Bryant isn't guaranteed. It doesn't have to happen. And I think I kind of was harping really hard on the Cubs initially, especially when they non-tendered Kyle Schwarber, worrying that, you know, I was skeptical they'd even pay a guy like Bryant that type of money for the contract. But, you know, I started thinking about it more and heard other people talk, and it's kind of like, well, if the Cubs didn't want to pay Chris Bryant $18 million or weren't totally comfortable with that idea, they wouldn't have tendered him a contract, because, you know, now they're they're guaranteeing that to pay Chris Bryant somewhere in the neighborhood of $18 million if they can't trade him. So I would assume, you know, that I think at the very least the Cubs truly are okay with coming into the season with Chris Bryant in spring training. And Jed Hoyer said that, and, you know, I don't think it necessarily means they're not trying to trade him, but, I Jed Hoyer didn't come out to say that. He didn't say we're not trying to trade Chris Bryant, but, you know, he knows they're trying to find a good trade fit for him. If they can't find that, they're not just going to toss him away, is what Jed Hoyer said. It's what Theo Epstein has said. It's what we've heard a lot from the Cubs brass these last couple of years. But, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean too much to me, because I know the Cubs don't want to pay Chris Bryant $18 million. They've tendered him a contract, and I think there's more to be said there than I initially gave. I don't think they're going to not outright just not pay anyone over $7 million this year. But, you know, it was some glimmer of hope, I guess. I don't really know how to take it as, because the Cubs are going to try and move him if they can. And he's realistically probably the only option they have to thread the needle, so to speak, as they've talked about, and find a way to stay competitive as well as, you know, plan for the future. That's probably the lone trade you have. Maybe Wilson Contreras, if you're really confident in Miguel Amaya, or maybe you sign one of the other guys out there, who knows. But there's options, I guess. They did mention John Lester, and they said that they've stayed in close contact with his agent. They're not closing the door on him, but conversations haven't really gone anywhere. I think the Cubs probably want to get a better idea of what their budget's going to look like before they commit any money to a guy like Lester, who would, you know, probably be nice as the fifth starter, but is also a guy that if he didn't sign, you might be also presenting yourself an opportunity to give another guy a bounce back chance that we'll touch on here in a second. But I wanted to also mention too, they talked a lot about Nico Horner. And obviously we've heard the rumor or the idea that they've toyed around with the idea of Horner in center field, but Hoyer mentioned it specifically and said that Ross is really focusing on getting Nico Horner, you know, playing time in other places. They want the focus to be second base, and they think that's really ultimately where he ends up landing. But they feel like they're comfortable with him playing shortstop, third base, and center field if they need him to. So I thought that was cool. I think Brett Taylor wrote an interesting kind of piece, little kind of blurb in one of his write-ups one morning about Nico Horner, and saying that he thinks he's a guy that could benefit from maybe spending a little more time in the minors. It seems to make sense, his slash line. I mean, we've seen him make adjustments, and I think that was what kind of people thought coming into this year, he'd be able to do that again. And I think teams have just kind of figured out how to take advantage of him now. So you work on those mistakes, you figure out how to, you know, fight yourself out of those type of situations, those counts, whatever teams are doing to take advantage of your weaknesses and you know, come back to the majors a stronger hitter. And I don't think that's a bad idea. You know, Horner obviously jumped to the majors relatively quickly. He was the first player in his draft class to be called up, but I don't know if that necessarily means he was quite ready. There was an obvious need. The Cubs needed a shortstop. He came up and hit relatively well right away, but since that hot couple, maybe 10 days in the 2019 season, Horner hasn't looked that great. So I think it might not be a bad idea. I would hope the Cubs would focus on more so his development with his bat than trying to make him the next Ben Zobrist. So, speaking of bounce back pitchers, I thought this was interesting. You know, we saw Hoyer obviously mention John Lester, say there's still a chance for him to come back. But Patrick Mooney had an interesting article in The Athletic earlier this week talking about bounce back pitchers. Sahadev Sharma wrote the initial article. Patrick Mooney chimed in on a few other things in a different article. But Sahadev wrote an article saying how the Cubs have never really had a chance to give a bounce back pitcher like Corey Kluber, for example, as a guy to come back who's 34. Obviously a former Cy Young, a former, you know, elite pitcher for the Indians, the Cleveland Indians, the team we're going to be talking about here in a second. But hasn't really been healthy, has struggled to stay healthy these last couple of years. Could probably be a decent bounce back candidate, but he's looking for a team to compete with because he wants to win and he wants to get a championship before things are all said and done. A lot of competitive teams don't have that opportunity. The Cubs are one of the few teams that can give a player like Corey Kluber a shot, but they can also give a young guy like Edbert Alzolay a shot now to actually be in this rotation. They don't have guys signed and money allocated to a guy like Tyler Chatwood to at least, you know, for the benefit of the doubt, give this guy a chance to get this position because we're paying him X amount of money. In Tyler Chatwood's case, $12 million a year. So they have an opportunity to do that, and I think that's great. Hoyer talked a lot about that as well, saying how it's incredibly important to give those guys opportunities to uncover those kind of gems, those hidden gems you can find in your system. So I like that. I hope the Cubs take that approach, but I also hope too that they do get some depth because they're gonna probably need at least a couple more arms on top of some of the in-house or, you know, whoever bounce back candidates they want to try and get. So Jared Porter, who is obviously was with the Diamondbacks, worked a little bit with the Cubs prior, is now going to the Mets. He's taking their open general manager job. So he's no longer an option for the Cubs. Takes away an option for them, but I think the Mets now settling their general manager job, the Cubs should hopefully be able to address that position relatively quickly now. And then finally, as we've teased throughout the show, the Indians have said they are going to eventually change their name. So right now they're the Cleveland baseball team, and I should probably stop saying Indians. It just feels wrong saying in general, especially now that they plan on changing it. It was a big freak out when it came out. The point is, like, it's offensive to some people, so why don't we change it? The Chief Wahoo logo, all these things, like, it just, I know the Indians use it nonstop for merchandising, marketing, and whatnot, but, you know, it's not like it was, like, a great idea to begin with. You've just been doing it for so long, you can come up with a better idea. Okay, and that's all I'm going to say on it. So, it's a good idea. If you don't agree, I'm just not going to stand for that, so. Before we wrap up today, NBA fans, listen up. The Locked On NBA podcast is getting you ready for the start of the regular season with a special week of team preview podcasts all week, plus waiver wire additions from Locked On Fantasy Basketball and Rookies to Watch from draft guru Chad Ford. I'll be tuning in to preview my young Chicago Bulls. Of course, check out Locked On Bulls, hosted by Matt Peck and Jordan Bailey. My boy Peck. Subscribe to Locked On NBA wherever you get your podcast. Subscribe to Locked On MLB too if you want. But with that, that is today's show. Thanks for sticking around, guys. You enjoy the rest of your day. As always, go Cubs, and make sure you follow and subscribe. Subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Cubs. You can follow me on Twitter at Sean R. Sears. Subscribe on whatever podcast app you use, Spotify, Google, TuneIn app. But thanks for tuning in, guys, and go Cubbies.